This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Sean Preston.
Welcome to today's episode of the Good Neighbors Podcast. Today we have a good neighbor with us. Her name is Maria Mejia from Your Financial Success Matrix. How are you, dear?
Good. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing pretty good. I managed to make my way through both my coffees this morning. So we are ready to rock and roll.
You're ready to take over the day.
So we've had your partner on the show, David Pataki, and talked about the business coaching side of your lovely tandem. And for those who don't know, business coaching, bookkeeping, accounting, you put it together. The accounting side is a very important component of that. And in business success, it's another language. It's a language I don't speak for sure. And for those who don't know, why don't we kind of dive into that? Tell us a little bit about your business.
Yeah. So, you know, like you mentioned, and like my business partner in a previous episode mentioned, the bookkeeping is a very large component of every business. Every business owner knows that they need to keep track of their income and their expenses. But then also the business coaching comes in hand when it comes to like the expansion or, you know, sustaining a business. So my focus is the accounting side. So making sure people have, you know, a bookkeeping software of some kind, whether that be QuickBooks, Xero, Wave, FreshBook, you know, there's a million of them out there, making sure they have a system in place, as well as making sure that that system is working for them on a day-to-day basis. And then, of course, government regulations, everybody has to file taxes. And so I make sure that all of that stuff is also up to date. So here in Canada, you know, the GST, HST, PST, all that fun stuff, payroll taxes, T4s, T5s, incorporated taxes, T2s, as well as if you're a sole proprietorship, you know, that included with your T1s. So I do kind of all of that fun stuff behind the scenes.
Very fun. Yeah. There's a lot of T's in there.
Yes.
So, okay. So when you say, well, we want the bookkeeping to be working for you, could you elaborate on that for us?
Yeah. So most people, when they start their business, they're like, okay, I'm going to gather all my expenses, total it up, give it to my accountant. They'll file my taxes. We'll call it good. And if I have money in the bank at the end of the year, that means I made a profit. Woo. When in reality, you could have money in the bank, but then that money could all be owed to the government or owed to your credit card company or to anybody else that you have to pay next year that the bill hasn't come due yet. And so what business owners need to be doing is looking at what's my total income for this month? What are my total expenses for this month so far? And what am I expecting my expenses to be either next month or next quarter? And looking at the reality, like, am I actually making a profit in this business? Can I take money out of my business to support my family at this time?
Okay, very nice. Very nice. Is there a common, mistake or a common thing that you see that business owners kind of make? When you maybe score a new client, they haven't really been paying attention to the bookkeeping side of things.
Yeah. So, you know, you think of bookkeeping, you think of expenses. It's more than that. Many of my clients, when they first come to me, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I make money with every project, every service, everything that I sell. When in reality, some of those clients aren't paying them. I recently had a client come to me and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm making lots of money. I charge a relatively good amount for my services. But then when we went over everything, I'm like, what's your total invoices? What have you invoiced this year? How much have you actually collected from people? And he's like, oh wow, I have, you know, 35K this year that I haven't collected from people. And I've only sent them the initial invoice. I'm like, well, you need to get on top of that. Making sure that your due date is reasonable for your industry, making sure if you have a late fee, they know that, have different, you know, pay avenues, whether that be credit card, e-transfer, cash, check, as well as staying on top of everyone. you send the initial invoice. Well, when are you sending the follow-up email saying like, hey, your bill's due in X amount of days, your bill's due today. Hey, you are overdue. Make sure you pay before this date or else you'll be charged a late fee.
Right, right. So good to have the, I almost call you like an overwatch for the numbers and just making sure that people are doing what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
And that does translate to the bottom line at the end of the day.
Yeah, it definitely does. So
very, very important and a key asset to anybody's business to have a bookkeeper. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey? Have you always been like a numbers nerd your whole life, or were you doing something in a past life? Bring us down that journey, that walk on how you got to where you are today.
That little rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and it actually kind of all started in high school when people were doing like their career choices, like, oh, what are you going to be when you grow up? What, you know, course are you going to take in university, college, all that fun stuff. So we take that, the kind of the generic careers test, and I'm like, okay, whatever. I take it and they're like, oh, we're not quite sure. You have lots of strengths, lots of weaknesses. So we're not quite sure where to put you yet. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go talk to like a professional and see what they feel. Cause at the time, well, even now, I have a learning disability, dyslexia. And so words, numbers, things get jumbled up very easily. And that person kind of helped me through everything. And they're like, you know what? You have a real knack for numbers and kind of understanding, breaking them down, analyzing them. They're like, you should be an accountant. I'm like, okay, I have no clue what an accountant does. So let's do an accounting course, accounting 101. And that first semester, I'm like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. You know, debits, credits, T accounts, things that other people get overwhelmed with. I'm like, that makes so much sense. This is an amazing world to be in. And so university, college, I did accounting. I loved it. Throughout the entire time, people are like, oh, what are you going to do? Public accounting, private accounting, be an entrepreneur, start your own business. And I was always like, I'm going to go to like one of the big four companies because that's what everyone's going to do. And I'm going to be a CPA and I'm just going to work at like KPMG or something crazy like that. For kicks and giggles, maybe try like forensic accounting because that sounded fun. I'm like into true crime. I'm like, that sounds so much cool. Forensic accounting, be a CPA, do all that fun stuff. Yeah. But during my internship, I was like, oh, well, it's fun doing this accounting, the CPA thing, but I want more control. I want more control over my life. I want more control over the people I talk to, the service that I'm able to give people. I'm like, there's more to accounting than just entering their expenses and sending them a report. And so when I moved up to Innisfil area with my husband, a friend of his who's also an accountant, he's like, oh, well, why don't you start your own business? I'm like, well, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not going to start my own business. And he's like, yeah, let's just do it. You know, just jump in both feet. And I'm like, okay, sure. He kind of showed me the ropes a little bit of being an entrepreneur. He had like this gung-ho spirit. And so I just followed him. And then after we parted ways, I met David and I'm like, you know what? We can do this. We can do this whole entrepreneurial journey, own and grow a business. And, you know, the rest is history.
That's very cool. And so you still managed to do all this and find success, even though you have the disability that you mentioned in dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that, like, it's always impressive to me that, you know, an individual doesn't let things come across their life that it's supposed to hinder them more than it does, but it doesn't. Has that been a really big challenge in your life?
Yeah.
Or have you not been able to kind of manage it and kind of really, you know, put it under control?
Yeah. So, you know, my parents were very, very supportive throughout my education. They're like, hey, you have this learning disability. That's okay. Let's figure out resources. Let's figure out things to help you kind of control it, maintain it, figure out, you know, like if you need to take more time, if you need to slow down, or if you need to walk away from something and then come back to it so your brain can kind of reset, well, you know, let's do that. So they've helped me, you know, get strategies that I've used throughout my entire life. And also having an employee who double checks my work, I double check her work, you know, all those checks and balances. Yeah. Help maintain all of that.
Very, very cool. Are there any kind of like myths or misconceptions out there in your world?
Yeah, most of the time they're, you know, accountants, CPAs, they're all boring people that don't know how to socialize with people, or all they do is, you know, those longhand calculators with rolls and rolls of tapes and things like that. You know, not all of us are that way. Some of us are a bit more social than others. And that, I've kind of learned that. I'm kind of a bit more of the social side of the accounting spectrum, where I do like talking to people. I like getting to know them, getting to know their story, their passions. And I've kind of used that throughout, you know, my business life.
Yeah, I've seen you out there at all the networking events. And I remember seeing you for the first time was at Anne Marie's networking event. I'm like, oh, who's this? This quiet little girl in the corner. I'm like, oh, no, she's not that quiet.
Yeah, once you get to know me, I'm not that quiet.
And then it was like, you know, every time I'm out there, I'm like, oh, there she is again. Oh, there she is again. And then we never, the first couple of ones, we never got to cross paths. And then finally we did. And then you and David and I had an opportunity to sit down and really get to know each other at the Williams Cafe. So very cool. Okay, so you do accounting, you're a numbers girl, passionate. Clearly, you can see the passion in what you do. When it comes to fun, when you're not working with numbers, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, me and my husband, we are giant movie buff people.
Really?
He kind of, like, I loved movies growing up, but he has this giant collection of Blu-ray movies, so he made me kind of fall in love with it even more. So we watch all... My thing is anything with action. If it's slow, like I'll fall asleep and he can watch it himself. But lots of action movies, 2012, any Marvel superhero movies, you know, we do all of that. And when it's summertime, when it's nice, we go out on walks, hikes, adventures, camping, you know, a lot of outdoorsy things during the summer.
What kind of camping do you guys do?
We do tent camping. We did cabin camping the other year. It was super fun. It was like a nice, fun experience. But I'm like, I like tent camping. I like putting up a tent and taking it down at the end of the time there. So, yeah.
Yeah, tent camping is a lot of fun. I like to do backcountry camping. So you're only taking your backpack with you.
Oh, yeah.
It needs a little bit more planning and preparation. And there's a spot about 2 hours north of here that I like to go with my future brother-in-law. and then we could take my dog Jax out. He's a natural when it comes to that kind of stuff. And we have a good friend of ours live down in Florida, and we always try to see each other once or twice a year. So, you know, we'll head down there, they'll head back up here. We just went and saw them. We took a cruise down to the Bahamas and got to spend some time with them there. And when they're going to come up in the summertime, because it's also super hot down in Florida, so they get reprieved by coming up here. And I mean, summer up here is awesome. So we're going to go, but my one buddy's got a girlfriend and she needs to have the bougie bathroom. Right? So we're going to do some glamping, which is totally fine. I mean, anytime you get me out in nature anyways, to begin with, it's always a lot of fun. So we're going to pick a spot there, bring the cars up, makes things a little bit easier. You can have a little bit more robust meals. I'm a big foodie. So that means we can cook some fancy dinners out there. For that type of thing. And action movies, I'm a big action movie guy. Mm. So Julie and I watch, it's got an action adventure, action sci-fi. We'll even get into some of that fantasy stuff. But yeah, I mean, there's got to be stuff going on, or else I think there's a drama, like a little baseball movie. It was a true story about, I think, a baseball player who had something with his spine. He overcame it. He made it to the majors. And we always look at it and we're like, it's not enough action.
Maybe.
But save it for another time. And it's like, we never get to it. So I look at it and I'm like, click. No.
Not quite in the mood. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been through, I mean, you kind of, I don't know if the dyslexia would be this, but you know, sometimes in life it's usually never a straight and narrow path. Life brings us in all different directions, and it can be quite a windy path. But what I found to be fascinating when I ask this question is the different stories that come back from people on how they overcame these and how it made them better. But have you ever had a life challenge, maybe a hardship in your life that you overcame, and because of that, maybe it made you stronger, it made you better for it?
Yeah, like the main one is my, you know, dyslexia. Mainly because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you have a learning disability, you know, that means you're dumb or something. I'm like, well, no, not necessarily. I just take a little bit longer to process things, or to even just to remember things. Because a lot of people, like when I was initially talking to people when starting my business, I would like get either their names mixed up, or like if I was trying to tell people like, oh yes, you know, on your taxes, you have to fill out this form or this form. And then I'd just get the numbers mixed up because I wasn't as familiar with them as I am now. Like I could sense that people were like doubting me and like my knowledge and my professionalism. I'm like, well, if you just email me, I can email you everything and perfect, all professional, all that fun stuff. And so I've kind of learned to like memorize a bunch of things, and try and be like, okay, like what are some, like in school, they call it schema. You know, what are the little hooks? What are some things that you can remember? Small things to remember the larger information. And so I'd come up with those things. I'm like, okay, you know, 21, 25, you know, that's a pretty fun combination of numbers. I kind of like the way that it sounds like. I'm like, that's a self-employment one. And I use it over and over and over again. And then I try and find other connections to that. I'm like, okay, what else connects these things together? What makes them so similar? That way, when I'm talking to, you know, business owners, I can understand, be like, oh, you're talking about this specific thing. Let me get all my knowledge about this thing. That way we can, you know, talk about it much deeper.
I mean, everything's a process at the end of the day. And what's nice about being a professional in something is because you're doing the same stuff all day, every day. Yeah. It's just after a while, it's something that you're going to remember because you just keep doing that process over and over again. And so happy to see that you've got those things in place, those processes, those implementations. And I'm kind of the same way, to be honest, when it comes to names. I need to get a business card. If I don't get a business card from somebody when I meet somebody new, I have to go through this process in my mind of like doing a word association. Yeah. To maybe like, you know, a superhero movie or just something, whatever I can relate that name to. And then I have to say it three times in my head. And that's still not enough. Then I need to say their name again back to them and then open up a conversation. And usually if I do that and try not to think about the conversation I'm having and think about their name, usually it'll stick in. But I have to go through that entire process. If I don't get a business card, because it's easy to get a business card, you just look at it, right?
Yeah.
So I can relate to you there. Is there anything that you wish that people knew about your business? Maybe they don't have a bookkeeper. Maybe they're brand new in business, or maybe they do have a bookkeeper. Maybe there's something that they need to be made aware of. There's a lot of good people out there that do a lot of good work, but you know, I just had to have someone I know that's close to me had to switch their bookkeeper over. I had a client of mine who had to switch their bookkeeper over. It seemed like some of that stuff was communication issues or not being organized and doing things last minute and bombarding them with stuff. And it's just like, I got to run a business. Like I can't have, you know, this is like the last day of the month. Why are you reaching out to me for all this stuff now? You know, is there one thing that you wish people knew about your business?
Oh, you know, where to start. But you really hit the nail on the head there. Communication is super key. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I have to chase down my bookkeeper, my accountant, whenever I want information from them, or I have to chase them down and be like, okay, what information do you need so we can do this, that, and the other? So, you know, finding that accountant, that bookkeeper, that CPA that you really jive with, that understands your business and your industry and has the communication level that you need for your business. Because some people, such as like seasonal work, you know, you don't need them asking you a million questions while you're in your busy season. And you don't need them doing constant day-to-day bookkeeping if you're not having transactions every single day. So looking for that person who understands your industry, is willing to understand you and your rhythms, and is also able to stay on top of you when it's appropriate to stay on top of you.
I mean, learning, education, it's a big thing. It's a really big thing. And for those who want to learn more about that side of it, you guys do, you guys teach, you guys do a little kind of a mastermind seminar on Wednesday mornings. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the, you know, we always valued networking, having business owners connect with each other. But we also know that, you know, when we get a lot of business owners in one location, you get a lot of, you know, experiences. And why not utilize that for business owners? A lot of mastermind groups, you know, you have to pay $1,000 each session, when we're like, well, you know what? We all have information that we're always willing to share with other people. So let's get together and kind of throw out a question, throw out a struggle that someone's having, and get everyone's input on it. Like, maybe you had a struggle and another business owner had that struggle like 2 years ago. And was like, hey, here's what I did. Here's how it's resolved. Here's, you know, how it's been going so far. And getting that input from multiple angles, not just a business coach and accounting angle, but also, you know, a newspaper person, a printer, a painter, you know, a lot of fields that you don't think would kind of interact as easily, when in reality we all have very similar experiences.
Yeah, and utilizing those years and experience collectively that everybody has in a room is a great way to get different angles and opinions on what's going on. And like you said, most people maybe have dealt with something like that before and be able to give good advice to people. But then you guys also do some teaching and some learning as well too. I participated in one, and I got to learn about the bookkeeping side of it. To anybody who's willing to want to learn a little bit more about you guys, Wednesday mornings at the Williams Cafe on Bryan Drive in the South End. What time do you guys typically start at?
We start about 8:15.
That goes till?
Till about like 9:15, 9:30-ish. Yeah.
9:30. Okay. And if anybody else is looking to try to reach out to you, what would be the best way for them to do that as well?
Email. So you can email me at maria@yourfsmatrix.com.
Phenomenal. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. That was a lot of fun, and nice to see you again. And I will see you tomorrow.
Sounds great. You take care.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Midhurst. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnpmidhurst.com. That's gnpmidhurst.com. Or call 705-413-3775.